Hey yo everybody, been a little while since I did a podcast. I'm here in the magical land of Toronto, and yeah, it's been a while since I posted things. My Libsyn account is almost empty. That's never happened before. It's like I get a monthly quota for how much I can upload, and it just keeps getting lower and lower. I've been meaning to do a ham radio where I just go walk around, play some songs that have been building up, blab about my thoughts on Tirana. But before I do that, I wanted to finish the XO that I was doing about traveling to Toronto, and it keeps getting longer, and I keep adding stuff. And a bunch of editing work came through from Keith and Hemda in New York, like right as I moved here, not to mention trying to find an apartment and a job. It's a whole thing. So, this is a little bit of a placeholder podcast. This is just secret best Red Hot Chili Pepper songs. Let's just sit around and listen to some Red Hot Chili Pepper, shall we? Just because that's what I've been doing last night and today. And, you know, I've been. Oh, Chris is home.
Did you just save Red Hot Chili Peppers?
I did. I'm doing a ham radio of secret best Red Hot Chili Pepper songs, I'm calling it, because I've been listening. Last night, I downloaded Stadium Arcadium, that double album they put out in 2006. Not great. Yeah, it's okay. But I found this one song that wasn't one of the singles and is like, good. So I'm going to play that and then probably go in reverse order back through the albums and pick out little songs that I was like, hey, that's a pretty good song that never really got its due. You know, but I mean, you can't really say that there's like Red Hot Chili Pepper songs that didn't get the proper attention they deserve since every album sells like in the millions. But you know what I mean.
I do.
Nice.
When I was outside, I could hear, and I was like, should I let him work?
Yeah, well, see, that's the
Turns
thing
also
is.
that hallway, as we were both discussing, is quite cold, surprisingly.
So you're like, fuck that.
Yeah.
You know, it's quite lucky that I was doing AM radio because I do tend to talk loudly to no one as I masturbate. Luckily, who just that's not what was going on now. Yeah, so you didn't know that shit about me, did
Yeah,
you?
it's
100 episodes, no one knew
yeah,
that.
as a listener, not just a talker, but a listener of ham radio, it is quite an open palate,
I was going to
the
say, yeah,
inside.
because that does suggest that perhaps I was playing with myself as I walked down these many streets. So this is She's Only 18 from Disc 1, Track 6 of Stadium Arcadium. Actually, before I play that, what I wanted to say about the Stadium Arcadium album is it got all these accolades and like most mature work of the blah, 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 Red Hot Chili Peppers. I found it quite boring. Just less dynamic than usual, not as many of the louds, the quiets, the fasts, the slows, the crazy wackiness that the
You would
Chili
describe
Peppers.
it as a little excellent?
Oh, it's a little excellent, no question.
Okay, well, I couldn't judge that you.
But listening to it last night, I was thinking like I just want to go back and listen to Blood Sugar Sex Magik from '91. Fuck all this shit, you know? It's like they're riding off into the sunset. They are very old men, to be fair. And Frusciante just left again, so I don't know what they're gonna do now.
So I'm not a lord in the Red Hot Chili Peppers. How many times has he left?
Well, it wasn't really his choice. They had their first guitarist was a guy named Hillel Slovak, and they did like three or four albums with him that were really like super funky. And I didn't really listen to them much. It was in the '80s. They used to wear socks on their
Socks,
cocks,
yeah.
that whole thing. And he died of heroin. So then they knew this dude named John Frusciante, who's younger than them, and he was like a huge fan of their band and a wicked guitar player. So he's like, "Hey guys, do you need a new guitar player? Because like Hillel, he sort of died."
Mrs. Bart, is there a guitar spot open yet?
Mrs. Flea. So they brought that dude in, and they did Mother's Milk, which was when they first started getting legitimately good as a band, and then Blood Sugar Sex Magik, which was the huge one, Give It Away
so
and Under
Mother's
the
Milk,
Bridge.
That's not a song, or is that an album?
That's an album. That's their
Okay.
1989 album, and that's when I first heard of them. The song "Taste the Pain," which I thought was hilarious, because I'm like, Red Hot Chili Peppers, "Taste the Pain," that's funny. And that still is one of their best songs. Maybe I'll play that later, even though it's certainly not secretly hidden. But yeah, then he got big into drugs. They were all into drugs. Fucking ridiculous. That guy Neil Hamburger, the comedian, he has a whole routine where every punchline is about how the Red Hot Chili Peppers are drug addicts. It's pretty, you think that's, you know, it's still impressive, but that just says something about the Chili Peppers,
Yeah.
I would say.
Like the Rolling Stone, she took a shortcut to being fully. fully grown. She got that moon ring, her little sister Rose, a smell of Springsteen, a pair of pantyhose. This talking picture show is leaking from a silhouette. She said, my man, you know it's time to get your fingers wet. Your hustle busted when you can't afford a cigarette. The last I heard from you were you screaming, Adelaide!
Knock the world
right off its feet and straight on to its head.
Move the love.
We'll long be laughing after you are dead.
Fascinated
by the look of what was said.
Make a play
for all the brightest minds and light will share. I heard some people out on the road again. To get your head strong is what I recommend. It's in your bloodline, a perfect Frankenstein. Out on the lone pine, I'm gonna make you mine. It's understood you wrap your poodle right around my neck. You got some glitter on your kitty at the discotheque. I put my loving in your rubber, not a head to check. The last I heard from you were you a screamer, roll the wreck.
Knock the world
right off its feet and straight onto its head.
Move the love.
We'll long be laughing.
Fascinated
by the look of you and what was said.
Make a play
for all the brightest minds in light.
Yeah, so then he had major drug problems, brutal drug problems. Was gone for years. They brought in...
like, so he would just wander off, and they're like, well, we need somebody to do this.
Yeah, there's, an interview with him in the Netherlands or something that it's probably on YouTube, and, man, he looks so shitty, just insane. And some of his songs were just nonsense. Your pussy is glued to a building that's on fire was one of the song titles.
Sounds like a nightmare.
Yeah, and some of those songs were good, though, his solo shit, but he just put out the second solo album anyway, from what I understand, mostly because he needed drug money. But, so then that's when they brought in, what's his name? The guy from Jane's Addiction, who's always wears the black eyeliner, Dave Navarro. Mm-hmm. So he was their guitarist for One Hot Minute, which was not that respected of an album, but it was still really good. I don't know, people were like, oh, it's not a real Chili Peppers album, but it's fucking sweet.
Well, did Chili Peppers do it?
Yeah, but not
well,
with...
Well, then it's a Chili Peppers album.
Yeah, but the driving force has always been the guitarist, and now they had this different guitarist. And yeah, it was different, but it was good.
Yeah,
so then it was the amazing resurrection story of Frusciante getting his shit back together and rejoining the band for 1999's Californication, which was like their biggest one ever. Just bigger than Blood Sugar Sex Magik, crazy big.
That was big, pretty much an impact right there.
Mm. Yeah, everybody remembers that shit. So, and then they did a couple more albums with him, and then he left to do solo stuff, and here we are.
Hmm.
I'm going to assume somewhere in the middle there I played that one song. So, now I should play a different song. So, hey, let me mention that, oh, wait, maybe I should look up her name first, because I forget what it is. I got an email from a girl who told me she thinks Ham Radio is better than XO. And I think she's crazy. I don't think that makes any sense. But thank you. That's pretty cool. So now let's jump back to the previous album. I think I'm going to play a couple of songs off this one. It is called By the Way from 2002. And I believe this may be the last CD that I actually purchased, unless I was like at a show. Like if I'm at a show watching a band, I'll buy their shit. But I remember going to King's Place in Fredericton and buying this album because I love the Chili Peppers and Californication was so cool and fucking Frusciante was back and all that. And yeah, don't do that shit anymore, that's for sure. I'd say that's another thing I should bring up is my brain doesn't work. I didn't sleep very much. I got these sweet quotes from Brian Eno about how, of course, the music industry's gone and CDs don't work anymore and everyone can go fuck themselves. Anyway, while I figure all that out, let's listen to Venice Queen, the last song on By the Way. I was thinking of doing a show where I just played the final song off a bunch of Chili Peppers albums because they seem to be surprisingly awesome. But they weren't surprisingly awesome enough for that to work. But this is the final song on this album, and it's super good. So it was Stephanie from Seattle who said that Ham Radio was better than XO. And you're too kind, thank you. So let me find these other quotes that I mentioned that I meant to start looking for before I started recording, but I didn't do that. Here we go. So these are quotes from Brian Eno, who, you know, used to work with David Bowie. One of the innovators of ambient music, you know, super genius. He said, "I think records were just a little bubble through time, and those who made a living from them for a while were lucky. There's no reason why anyone should have made so much money from selling records except that everything was right for this period of time. Before gas came along, if you traded in whale blubber, you were the richest man on earth. Sorry, mate, history's moving along." And I think that's fucking awesome. Because I'm tired of hearing about fucking whiny jerk-offs whining about this fucking music industry shit. It's true, like, before all this bullshit even started, you know, you played music live, and then it was on the radio, and, like, this... The idea of physically selling music on physical media, it's a transition thing. And it really was absurd how these record companies, where the more you learn about how they work, they're just full of fucking morons who didn't know what the fuck they were doing. It was just like... It was like taking out a loan from a terrible bank that's just gonna fuck you over. Just, it was ridiculous. So fuck all that. Now it's on the internet. Now it can easily be distributed to people. And I recommend you embrace it, musicians of the world. Don't try to fight it. Even the fact that people are paying 99 cents a song in iTunes, I don't even think that's gonna last. I'm surprised that that has taken off as well as it has, because it's also a big pain in the dick and fucks you around and is just weird. Weird blockades that shouldn't be there and don't make sense. So, another Red Hot Chili Peppers song. This is track 3 from that same album. It's called This Is The Place. And actually, I think this was the very first song that gave me this idea. Back in the day, I kept thinking, like, I should do a Chili Peppers show because of this song, because it's super cool. And it's just kind of hidden on... You know, this was the album after Californication, didn't sell as good. A little bit hidden, a little bit of a hidden song on a little bit of a hidden Chili Peppers album, which is just ludicrous nonsense to say. Most bands would fucking kill their own mothers to be as well known as this song and this band. So here it is, This Is The Place by Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Time gets fast, but everything gets slow. I get some Vaseline, step into a modern scene, take a chance on that which seemed to be the making of a dream. I don't wanna do it like my daddy did. I don't wanna give it to my baby's kid. This is my calling. I said, darling, shocking, appalling. All I can give to you, hammers a-falling. I said, darling, shocking, appalling. All I can give to you. This is the place where all the devils plead their case to take from you. Can I picture Wolverine? On the day my best friend died, I could not get my copper clean. I don't wanna take it up with little Joe. I don't wanna fake it, but I've gotta know. This is my code.
So I was considering skipping Californication because I was like, man, that album sold so many copies. Like I said, it sold even more than Blood Sugar Sex Magik, which is just crazy to even consider because that album sold a lot of fucking copies. So I was like, yeah, I don't think there's any secret best song to this album. Let's just skip this album. But I just started listening to it, and track 2, Parallel Universe, is pretty fucking cool. But that album had like a zillion singles also, so I was like, so I looked it up, and it was a promotional single for like radio stations and shite, and not an official single, so that will do. That will fit our criteria. Parallel Universe, Zaretta Chili Peppers. Oh, and for Parallel Universe, I'm gonna play the unmastered version. I found a torrent of Californication unmastered. That sounds about the same to me, but there's some music nerds that posted comments of like, oh man, this unmastered version's way better. You can totally hear the shitty mastering in the fucking officially released version. This is so better. I don't know. I can't tell. I don't even really know what that means. Somebody mixed it weird? What the fuck? I don't know. Maybe it's a little more raw? Whatever. Maybe you can tell the difference, maybe you can't. Here the fuck it is. I was listening through some more Californication, and there's actually quite a few really cool songs on this album. And there'd be a few that I was like, oh, maybe that one. Maybe this one. It's hard to pick. But there's a song called Savior that is probably a little too long for its own good, but that I always kind of liked. I'd say I like it just a touch more than the other songs that I almost played. Oh, but also I meant to say that I always thought it was weird with the Red Hot Chili Peppers that, I'm sure I've said this before on Ham Radio, but of bands of my era, you know, my, for my age group, my, you know, when I was a teenager and I started really getting into music, the Chili Peppers were actually a little before everybody else. You know, in the sense of the Pearl Jam, Nirvana, Smashing Pumpkins, all that type of thing. But they didn't really start, you know, picking up steam and getting popular. And I didn't start paying attention until Mother's Milk. Even that, though, still a little before. But, yeah, if I had to pick one of those bands to still be the big band that was still going to be relevant and notable today, I would not have picked the Chili Peppers. I mean, pretty much they're the only ones still around except Pearl Jam. And I don't know, I haven't even listened to the last couple of Pearl Jams, really. I stuck with them for a pretty long time, but I mean, just album after album after album after album. It's just going nowhere, man. You know. I don't know, I find that band boring now. Incredibly boring. But the Chili Peppers, like, well, even though their last album was pretty goddamn boring, but it's still like, they put out a single, it's a big deal. They put out an album, it's always number one. Or I guess the true test is that, you know, kids that are getting into music just now, they don't give a fuck about Pearl Jam, but if you started getting into music in 99, you probably like Chili Peppers. If you started getting into music in 2006, you're probably at least aware of Stadium Arcadium, you know? They've stayed pretty, pretty fucking on top of things, which is pretty cool. All right, here's Savior.
Still
That was also the unmastered version, and I could totally tell that time. Little things that are different, that's kind of cool.
So, I just was listening through One Hot Minute, the 95 album with Dave Navarro, and I wasn't sure what I was going to play off this album, because I'm pretty familiar with it, and I remember liking it in general quite a bit. But I wasn't sure, like, what song do I want to play off this motherfucker? Because there's quite a few pretty cool songs, and, you know, that are not really that well known, which is the whole criteria here. Like, the last song on the album is called Transcending, and I don't know if I'm going to play it, because I don't know if I like it enough, but I like it. It's good. You should go give that a listen. And there's a couple other songs that I also think I like. I don't know. We'll see as I go through. But, the one song that as soon as I started playing is just like, oh, motherfucker. I forgot all about that song, and just like right away, I was like, oh, that's the one. That's the song I gotta play. It's called Deep Kick, and it's starts off real quiet. It's just Anthony Kiedis kind of doing a storytelling type thing. The whole thing is just a story. It's just a story about Anthony and Flea growing up. And it kind of makes more sense after you've read Scar Tissue, Anthony Kiedis' book, because he gets into a lot of this stuff, explains a lot of it more directly. And that is a super fantastic book. I give it a million thumbs up. It's all about Anthony Kiedis' fucked up life. Tons and tons of weird drugs and crazy shit that happened to him. And just like the way he describes it is one foot in the grave and one foot on a banana peel. And I think that's appropriate. Because, like, I don't know, it's just fucking, it's just super, super compelling. You just want to get to the next page. You just can't stop reading that fucking book. I remember I was working at the coffee shop in Vancouver when it came out. And yeah, just as soon as customers would go away, I'd just be like, oh, cool, sit down, read another page or two of this book. Super great. So anyway, this is a cool-ass song about the two of them as kids, as teenagers, doing stuff.
Started when we were little kids, free spirits but already tormented by our own hands, given to us by our parents. We got together and wrote on desks and slept in laundry rooms near snowy mountains and slipped through whatever cracks we could find. Minds altered, we didn't falter, and portraying hysterical and tragic characters in a small filled universe. We loved the dirty city and the journeys away from it. We had not yet been or seen our friends, selves, chase tails round and round, downward spiral, leaving a trail of irretrievable vital life juice behind. Still, the brother's blood, comrades, partner, family, cuz, was impenetrable. And we lived inside it, laughing with no clothes. And everything experimental till death was upon us. In our face, mortality. And lots of things seemed futile then. But love and music can save us. And did. While the giant gray monster grew more poisoned and volatile around us. Jaws clamping down and spewing ugly shit around. Nothing is the same. So we keep moving. We keep moving.
Yeah.
Man, I love that part at the end of that song. It's fucking super awesome. And also, since Prushanthi wasn't around for this album, that's Flea doing all the weird little high-pitched singing and various fill-in stuff. He's clearly not as good at it, but that also makes me think of this song called P that's on this album, this really short little song that I think is the only song that Flea sings ever in all the Red Hot Chili Peppers, you know, just by himself. It's pretty fucking sweet, so let's listen to that also.
I'm a little bee. I love the sky and the trees. I'm a teeny tiny little ant, checking out this and that.
Just looking through Craigslist vaguely for potential job shit, just because why the fuck not? I might as well look, right? Anyway, this one. Do you possess a love for coffee, baked goods, and building relationships with amazing customers? Can't they just say, do you want to work at a coffee shop? Does everything have to be so ridiculous?
Well, maybe it's a ridiculous coffee shop.
That's a good point. Maybe it is a ridiculous coffee
you try
shop.
Ridiculous cappuccino.
It's the
I think
best.
It's a little hysterical, but like it's not bad.
That's a good point. And that's why it's good not to live alone, because I would have sat here stewing in anger for hours, unable to get out.
I would probably have to hear it later anyway, since I listen to ham radio. I'm just like, wow.
That's right.
Only somebody was there to break the fucking tension about him looking at Craigslist.
It looks like I was wrong about there only being the one Flea song. I just found a little torrent of miscellaneous songs that Flea did, and I think they're pretty delightful. Let's listen to a couple of those. We got Fiber Optics and How Could I Love Myself.
Get real strong. What could you love yourself? everything I ever wanted. And that's when I hit rock bottom. Just one thought is all I have. I could only make real love and pray a lot. But could I love myself?
Trying to talk in the morning, bad idea. Whew. So this little podcast that was going to do real quick or whatever is stretched on to day 3, just because it takes a long time to listen to Red Hot Chili Peppers albums, you know? It's a lot of them, and I still got like 2 more to go. But we're still on the One Hot Minute era, 1995. I was just listening through it while I was doing some computery shit. And there's this song called Walkabout that I always liked. And it's just about Anthony Kiedis going on a walk, just walking around, you know, sorting shit out in his brain, just going for a walk, man. And that seems appropriate, because with all these ham radios, I'm always walking around. Not right now. Right now I'm standing. But, you know, as it was playing, we got dueling laptops going on here. Head-to-head, 2 laptops. So while I was doing this, Chris was doing stuff on the other laptop, and... You know, that song is just so groovy. He's just like bobbing his head. And I was like, you know what? That is a good song to bob one's head to. I'm going to play that fucking song. So here it is.
In the zone, you could do it in the desert, you could do the unknown on a walkabout. what I spy. So fly, you gotta wonder why. The stingrays must be fat this year. I'm moving slow in my lowest gear. The didgeridoo original man with a dream. I believe the aborigine. On a walkabout. You could do it with the shuffle, you could do it with the stroll, you could do it with the stride, you could do the unknown on a walkabout. A walk could kill most all my blues, bare feet or in my two shoes. One.
Here's a little ditty that I wasn't sure if I was going to play or not, but really I should play it. I mean, when else would I ever? This is like the perfect opportunity to play the silliness. Way back in the day, me and the neighborhood lads had our own little wee rap band called Tragically Hip Hop that I thought was pretty fucking good, especially by Canadian standards. We were easily the fifth or sixth best rap band ever to come out of Canada.
We were good.
Yeah. That's the pride. The pride. Proud. Yeah, no, we were pretty good. I don't even know. Why deny it? So one of my little experiments to fuck around and see if I could I could become an awesome rapper is this song that you'll hear playing in the background right now is called Shallow Be Thy Game. I took an old Biggie Smalls instrumental and then I rapped over it with these words. Actually, I think I did it with two different Red Hot Chili Peppers songs. So maybe there'll be another one of these coming. I would apologize, but I mean, you chose to listen to this. You know, come on, what do you want? This is Tragically Hip Hop with Shallow Be Thy Game, 2,000 years look in the mirror. Fucking classic, man. When was this from? 2001 or so, probably? Anyway.
I was not created in the likeness of a fraud. Your hell is something scary, I prefer a loving God. We are not the center of this funny universe. And what is something worse? I do not serve in fear of such a curse. Shallow be thy game, 2,000 years look in the mirror. You play the game of shame and tell your people live in fear. A rival to the way you see the Bible, let him be. I'm a threat to your survival and your control company. You'll never burn me, you'll never burn me. I will be your heretic. Yeah, you can't contain me. I am the power, free truth belongs to everybody. To anyone who's listening, you're not born into sin. The guilt they try and give you, puke it in the nearest bin. Missionary madness, sweep up culture with a broom. Trashing ancient ways is par for the course, it's fucking rude. To think that you're above the laws of nature is a joke. Purple sashes feeding masses, smoke and wish to choke. I might be a monkey when it comes to being holy. Fundamental hatred, get down on your knees. And you'll never burn me, no, you'll never burn me. I will be your heretic, yeah, you can't contain me. I am the power, free truth belongs to everybody. You'll never burn me, no, you'll never burn me. I will be your heretic, yeah, you can't contain me. Cause I am the power, free truth belongs to everybody.
I just listened to the old Tragically Hip Hop thing that I did, where I was trying to rap fucking... Well, here, let me play it a little bit. It's very stiff. I don't know. I'm just listening to this shit.
I'm a listener of the Tragically Hip Hop. I'd say that's probably an accurate state. Yeah. Yeah,
it's like no passion.
You can feel the angles to it, and they're sharp.
Yeah, it's like nerd rap or something. I don't know. I thought it was a little better than that, but it's just like, yeah, it's just like so. Obviously, I was just an awkward teen, not comfortable with myself. Although I was probably 20 at that point, but you know what I mean.
But yeah, but no, like, I don't know. Fun to do. See, no alcohol. Like... No alcohol. Always remember that.
That's true.
Not sure if it's a good thing, but it's something always to remember.
Well, when I was listening to that, I was like, I could do better than that. I should do a new one right now. And I'm like, nah, fuck that. But anyway, just, that's our past, man. Our shared past. Mm. Except that was just me on that one, but still.
Yeah.
Just felt like I needed to express that to someone. Not just the internet, although they're going to hear it too, because I already did the whole intro, so I can't just not use it now. Just like, no, I changed my mind. Fuck it. Fuck it. All right, now that we're getting deeper into this journey, I think it might be time to start getting a little abstract with shit. Let's get all weird with it. And let's do that by playing the other little the other Chili Peppers rap song that I made, which is The Power of Equality from Blood Sugar Sex Magik. If I remember right, this one is a Portishead beat, I think. I don't know. Anyway. I'm kind of drawing a blank. I haven't heard this thing in a long time, and I'm not going to listen to it now. Only you will listen to this. But, I don't know, maybe it's kind of cool. Whatever. It's certainly not the worst thing ever made. I mean, it's like... It's not like it tied you down and forced you to listen. Etc., etc. Bing bada bada bing bada bing bada bada bing bada bada bing bada bing bada bada bing bada bada bing bada bing bada bada bing bada bada bing. Swing. I've got a soul that cannot sleep at night when something just ain't right. Blood red but without sight, exploding egos in the night. Mixed like sticks of dynamite, a red, black, or white. This is my fight. Come on, courage, let's be heard. Turn feelings into word. American equality has always been sour. An attitude I would like to devour. My name is peace, this is my hour. Can I get just a little bit of power? Right or wrong, my song is strong. You don't like it, get along. Say what I want and do what I can. Death to the message of the Ku Klux Klan. I don't buy supremacy. Immediate chief, you menace me. The people you say cause all the crime. I wake up, motherfucker, and smell the slime. Blackest anger, whitest fear. Can you hear me? Am I clear? My name is peace, this is my hour. Can I get just a little bit of power? I've got tapes, I've got CDs, I've got my public enemy. My lily white ass is tickled pink when I listen to the music that makes me think. Not another motherfucking politician doing nothing but something for his own ambition. I never touch that sound we make, the soul sacred love of vows that we take. To create straight what is true, yo, he's with me.
and what I do. My name is Peace, this is my hour. Can I get just a little bit of power? Power of equality is not yet what it ought to be. It fills me up like a hollow tree. The power of equality. Madder than a motherfucker, lick my finger. Can't forget cause the memory lingers. Count them off quick, little Piccadilly sickness. Not without your guilt and I'm a witness. I've got a wealth from the Bible belt. Dealing with the hand that I've been dealt. I'm sitting in the grip of a killing fist. I'm giving up blood just to exist. Rub me wrong and I get pissed. I know I cannot, I get to this. People in pain, I do not dig it. I change a brain for Mr. Bigot. Little brother, do you hear me? Have a heart, oh come get near me. Misery is not my friend, but I'll break before I bend. What I see is insanity. Whatever happened to humanity? Whatever happened to humanity? Whatever happened to humanity? What I see here is insanity. Whatever happened to humanity? Whatever happened to humanity? Whatever happened to humanity?
I just listened to the other shitty rap song that I did, and it's better. It's much better. I'm not proud of it exactly. Maybe a little bit. It is a lot better. You know, listening through, Jesus. I cannot speak today. Listening through Blood Sugar Sex Magic has just reminded me of when I first heard this thing. Basically, first Chili Peppers song I ever heard was Taste the Pain from Blood Sugar Sex Magic. And I fucking loved it. But it must have been like 91 by this point. And I think the only reason it was played on Much Music was because Blood Sugar Sex Magic got so famous. Because I remember just really digging that song. I had it like taped on a VHS. So I told my dad, like, hey, when you're out and about in your travels in the world, if you happen to see any Red Hot Chili Peppers albums used anywhere, he went to a lot of record stores and stuff. It's like, can you pick that up for me? And the one he found was Blood Sugar Sex Magic, of course, because it sold like 9 million copies or something. So I was like, yeah, it's too bad that that one song I like so much isn't on this album. But I ended up listening to this album a billion times. It's got tons of good stuff. I think if I was to try to sing it from top to bottom, I could get 90% of the words, probably. I just know them. They're just in my brain. Yeah, it was just a nice little cassette. I think you said you got it for like 99 cents. Good deal, man. Good deal for all the fucking awesomeness. And it's weird, like, I don't know, if I was to listen to it now for the first time, who knows, man? It might not be that hot of an album. It's kind of, I don't know, but it's just, it's the time and the place, man. It was 91, and I just had a lot of time to sit around and listen to music back then. I remember the girl I had a crush on in 8th grade was also big into this album. We both agreed that Breaking the Girl was, like, the coolest song on it. Memories. In fact, that's what I will play now. Like I said, I was going to get a little weird with it, is, I was fucking around on YouTube, and I found some weird rarities and stuff. And this is just the guitar track from Breaking the Girl. Pretty famous song. You might know it. It's totally good anyway. But yeah, this is the guitar master track. People have found a bunch of this shit, or I think a lot of it is from Guitar Hero and Rock Band. You can go through and isolate the individual tracks for stuff. So this is just the guitar. And I just think that's neat, because, you know, this is a 20-year-old song. Probably, you know, you've heard it. If not, you can certainly track it down. So here's a slightly different version of it. A nice little guitar ditty version.
You know, I should also mention that that girl that I liked in eighth grade, we also both agreed that the number 13 was the best number because, I don't know, we were like 13. What do you fucking want, man? I also remember watching some footage about the making of this album, and it was kind of cool. They made it in this big ass house, you know, in LA somewhere. And so this is John Frusciante's second album with this band after their old guitarist died. And Frusciante was really, like, most famous for being whacked out on drugs, you know? But when you see this footage beforehand, where he's just this young, clean-cut dude, hair all buzzed off, and he's just talking about how proud he is of this album, and it's just a really cool interview where, I don't know, I mean, he's proud with good reason, man. It's a fucking classic album of the 90s. And, yeah, I don't know. It was just, it was cool. It was kind of sad what happened to old man Frusciante, but not as sad because now he's got his shit together and he's putting out tons of solo albums and it's all good again. So, you know, cool. So listening through this old stuff also reminded me of this famous performance of Under the Bridge from Saturday Night Live in 1992 that Anthony Kiedis specifically brings up in his autobiography of, like, kind of the worst time when Frusciante was just super fucked up before they went out, and what a weird mess it was and all fucked up and just, like, one of the lowest points for the band type of shit. But I think it's kind of neat. I don't know, it's a little weird, but it's like the strange Martian version of this song. I think it's kind of cool, so I'm going to play that.
Yes, I love. Take me all away.
apparently that SNL performance was so kind of notorious, it's even on the Wikipedia page. Let's see. After being released as a single in March 1992, the song would be included in virtually all concerts. Frusciante, however, began to resent the song's popularity and would play convoluted intros, purposefully throwing Kiedis off. An example of this was during a televised performance on the highly rated program Saturday Night Live on February 22, 1992. Kiedis said, "It felt like I was getting stabbed in the back and hung out to dry in front of all of America, while Frusciante was off in the corner in the shadow playing some dissonant out-of-tune experiment. The guitarist used a distortion pedal for the ending verse and screamed incomprehensibly into the microphone when providing backup vocals, neither of which were originally planned or typical of live performances. Nevertheless, sales of Blood Sugar Sex Magik skyrocketed following the show." I'm just looking at YouTube comments for this SNL performance, and it's kind of awesome. One guy says, "I don't see what the fuss is about. John rocked that shit." And another guy says, "I think it sounds good. It's what makes live music great. Go listen to the album if you want a crystal clean version. I can't play that good sober." Can't fucking argue with that. Also, watching back at this stuff, 92, you know, like, obviously this is my kind of era when I was a teenager, so that helps me like it. But, man, it just seems so much more vibrant than shit that has been going on lately. Like, I'm remembering when I was a teenager, like, how bands that played on SNL, that would be, like, a big deal. It would be fucking cool. Like, when Pearl Jam played right before Vitalogy came out, they played, like, Rearview Mirror and something else, and then one of the newer songs. And then when Nirvana was on, and they started to play Rape Me, and then they didn't, but just, man, then, like, the Pumpkins and even, like, Stoneable Pilots, like, there were so many cool bands back then. That just seemed, like, really awesome. Nowadays, like, I don't know. If you were to watch Saturday Night Live, who the fuck is gonna be on it, you know? Man, I mean, I don't know. I'm just looking at this shit, and you got, like, Anthony Kiedis in his shorts and his long hair, and Flea's got some weird fucking shirt wrapped around his head for some reason, and Frusciante's got the old Nirvana Unplugged look. He's rocking the old, an old cardigan sweater. It's just, I don't know, man, it's fucking cool. Fucking cool as shit. Man, I gotta mention, if you're a Red Hot Chili Peppers nerd, I assume it's mostly just because this is the most famous song they ever did. But man, the Wikipedia page is massive. It's got all kinds of cool information about this song. Under the Bridge, I'm talking about. It's kind of cool. I gotta start digging through, see what other weird Red Hot Chili Pepper shit I can find on good old Wiki. Yeah, let's play a little bit of Frusciante stuff. This is one of his solo songs called As Can Be that I always thought was a pretty little ditty. I always liked this song. Thank you. Now I know I moved into John Frusciante territory. And he famously was fucking fed up with Under the Bridge and how successful and commercial the band had gotten. But even though I just played a Frusciante song, I'm going to go back and talk about Under the Bridge again for a second. But to be fair, I think old man Frusciante, as he is now, you know, I don't know, old, he's like late 30s, but he's chilled out a lot from what I understand. He has learned to accept his commercial success. But this is just a fucking great story. All right, so the first single was Give It Away, which if I never hear that goddamn song again, it'll be too soon. I never thought it was that great to begin with, and man, I've heard it so many times, like, fuck. Anyway, that was the first single, went to number one. And Under the Bridge was the second single. Man, listen to that clicking. I just gotta... That's just so weird. That's that game Torchlight. It's like Diablo. No other game would you ever play where there's that much clicking. It's just like constant clicking. Shouldn't they have made it? It's just a lot of clicking.
Yeah, I know. Like, that's funny. Well, I'm sorry. I was fighting this fucking shaman. I was like, and when you started recording, I was like, well, you can easily tell me to stop, but...
Yeah, no, to be fair, that shaman, I'm sure he needed to die. So.
Yeah, well...
No, this is ham radio, man. It doesn't matter. We don't do good quality here. Please. I at least remember the old ones in New York with the fucking airplanes going by all the time. Compared to that.
See, it's funny because those would be like sometimes my more memorable episodes. Because if you kind of a chipper mood, a plane would go by and it would be like a spell would be cast on you. You would just 180 your attitude and you're just like, ah.
To be fair, a lot of that would be that my chipper mood, quote unquote, was because I just drank like a huge coffee. So I would really be a little out of my mind and it was a fake good mood to begin with.
Hey, we all gotta cover up parts of our lives with chemicals.
But you know, those days could be back soon. I just sent an email to my old roommates in Queens about how I'm gonna swing by for a little while at the end of the month, visit for a few days. So, yeah, I'm gonna be there through 2, 3, 4 days. There's gonna be in that time easily 6,000 planes. So, I'm back.
But it took you a long time to get a ham radio done when you were in Toronto. Do you think you'll be able to get it done in New York?
Yeah, I was only putting it off here because I wanted to do the XO first, and those things take forever.
So. XO isn't as good as radio, like, just...
Anyway, back to the story of Under the Bridge. So, yeah, it was the second single. And, okay, the band did not foresee Under the Bridge being as successful, but understood the potential commercial viability. Warner Brothers Records sent representatives to a Chili Peppers concert to determine which song should be the next single. Man, shit like that is crazy when I hear that, like... I don't know. Who doesn't know which songs are good? That's fucking weird. Anyway, when Frusciante began playing Under the Bridge, Kiedis missed his cue and the entire audience began singing the song instead. Kiedis was initially mortified that I had fucked up in front of Warner's people. I apologized for fucking up, but they said, fucking up, are you kidding me? When every single kid at the show sings a song, that's our next single. I think that's pretty cool. That being said, let's play another Frusciante song now. This is from way later in his career when he was doing less weird stuff. It's called Omission, and I really like the dude who sings the backup in this song. He's got a really high-pitched voice. He almost sounds like a girl, and his name's Josh Klinghoffer, something like that? Just a sec, let me look that up. Yeah, Josh Klinghoffer. Anyway, he works with Frusciante sometimes. He's younger. Hey, he's my age, born in 79. And he was the backup guitarist for the last Chili Peppers tour, the Stadium Arcadium one. And after Frusciante last year decided he was going to leave to do solo stuff, they just sort of switched over to this guy, Josh. And I don't know if he's officially their new guitarist or not, but he's a pretty cool dude. And I really like his backup singing.
Oh, my.
Let's hop back to Blood Sugar Sex Magik for a moment, because I just found a bunch of unmastered tracks from that album. I always like this song, Righteous and the Wicked. So here it is in its rough form. Man, I sure hope whoever's listening to this, I hope you're a fucking Red Hot Chili Peppers fan, because if not, I have no fucking idea why you're still here. Like, you must be like, fuck, stop with the Chili Peppers. Well, no, it's a Red Hot Chili Peppers episode, so I don't know, man. It's just going to get worse from here. So I hope you enjoy this. As a Red Hot Chili Peppers fan, I think you would, but if you're not, I guess that's what I'm saying, is that this is the shit-sounding version, which is neat if you've heard the other version 10,000 times. Otherwise, it's just shit.
Yeah.
Man, the internet is pretty fucking fantastic. I was halfway through listening to Blood Sugar Sex Magik. Like, I was on the song Blood Sugar Sex Magik. And I got distracted a little bit, found something or other online, and now it's like an hour and a half later, I'm finally getting back to listening to the rest of it, because I just found so much random Red Hot Chili Pepper shit to listen through. That's fucking neat, man. Sitting here with a coffee, nerding out on music, that's just good stuff. Then, like, I don't know, this laptop I bought when I moved here, it was expensive, you know, it's like $700 or something. But man, could there be a better, like, entertainment portal possible? Fucking play games, watch TV shows, fucking listen to music, make stuff. It's fucking fantastic, man. The future. The future is cool. Alright, almost done listening through Blood Sugar Sex Magik. And then we'll be moving on to Mother's Milk, which will be the end of our journey, because I never really got into the Chili Peppers before that. It was a different band, like really funk band oriented, kind of, you know, like rhythm more than melody or anything like that. And Mother's Milk is when Frusciante and Chad Smith, the drummer, joins, you know, the modern incarnation of the Chili Peppers, as I always think of them. So the very last song on Blood Sugar Sex Magik is called Sir Psycho Sexy, and it has the coolest little guitar thing at the end of just like the sweetest little end to an album of just this super cool guitar thing that just, it rules anyway. So I also found, similar to that Breaking the Girl thing, just the master guitar track for that song. So instead of the album one, which is very pretty, I'm gonna play just the guitar, the sweet guitar outro. So I was doing more Wikipedia reading, and just listen to this shit, man. This is a good example of how I love Wikipedia, and I love the, I don't know, people have criticized it because it could potentially, you know, they're like, it could be anything, you can't tell if the information is right, blah, blah, blah. But I think time has fucking proven that that is just not right. I mean, if it's an entry that's even remotely important or popular, the mass consensus actually helps. It just keeps weird randoms with their strange things that don't work or aren't right from
proliferating, mostly. I don't know, Wikipedia just works. I mean, I only use it for pop culture stuff, so maybe that's the difference. I'm not using it to look up the Human Genome Project. Though that's probably a fine entry also. I don't know, people just complain for no reason about dumb shit. Wikipedia's fan-fucking-tastic. Or I saw the other day somebody referencing some new webpage, I don't even know what it was, but talking about how Wikipedia is showing its age, you know, it's on its way out, and it's like, what are you even talking about? And I don't know. The internet's got a lot of fucking dummies on it. So, speaking of that, though, much as I love Wikipedia, listen to this shit, this entry for the song Other Side from Californication. So, they're talking about how the song, highly successful, number 14 on the Billboard Hot 100, and number 1 on the U.S. Modern Rock Tracks. The song remained number 1 on this chart for 13 consecutive weeks, one of the longest runs at the top of the chart. You know, it's like, that was a crazy popular song. Then, in addition, the song was featured in the 1999 Van Damme film, Universal Soldier, The Return. You know, I just don't think that that's really even worth mentioning. That is not an important... What? In addition? No one gives a shit about that movie. I didn't even know that was a movie. I didn't know Van Damme made a Universal Soldier fucking movie in 1999. Like, that's just silly. That's damn silly. Yeah, I was surprised by that one because most of the Chili Peppers entries are quite good. It's like, Van Damme. There's probably Van Damme who added that. He's just like, in addition, this song was featured in my 1999 film. Like, he had to go edit it. Like, oh, fuck, I can't say my. Universal Soldier, The Return. The Muscles from Brussels. Yeah, it just turns into an entry about Van Damme. Featured in the 1999 Van Damme film, often known as The Muscles from Brussels, he was an amazingly popular actor, and still is. Anyway, also, I wanted to mention that Man the Scar Tissue video, I'm sure everyone's seen it, but if not, I'd say go look it up. It was another massively popular single from this album. What a fucking awesome video. It is so fantastic. It's, the same person who did a bunch of their videos, did, like, Give It Away and all this stuff, I believe. But it's just them driving in a car with, old man Frusciante driving, because, you know, he's back. He's back in Pog form. And they're all just playing broken instruments, and they're all beat up, and, the guitar solo at the end, John plays on, like, a guitar with a busted neck, and it's just fucking cool as shit. It's, like, a simple video, but it's fucking super awesome. I think I'm gonna go kind of light on the Mother's Milk tracks. I think I'm probably just gonna play one. So like I said, Taste the Pain is a really excellent song. I totally recommend that. I just spent a bunch of time tracking down the alternate version that was on the Say Anything soundtrack, but it's just very slightly longer, like it fades out a little bit less quickly. The other big single from that album, well, I guess it was Higher Ground, but then it was Knock Me Down was one of their first big hits. There was a story in Scar Tissue about how it was one of the first times Anthony Kiedis really felt like he was getting famous, where some dudes pulled over, like, stopped at a stoplight next to him, and just like, roll down your window, man, like, you are Chili Peppers, hey, Knock Me Down, they started singing the song and loved it. It is a really cool song, and it's weird because the album version, actually, the way they mixed it, for Shanti's vocals, it was supposed to just, I don't know if he's supposed to be backing or if, you know, it's the two together, but they kind of pushed for Shanti to the forefront, which was a good move, actually. It sounds better that way, but it's surprising that one of their early hits that was really catching on with the mainstream was not Anthony singing. But this is an alternate version that was, when they remastered the album, they put this out. It's an alternate mix of the song, so it's got Anthony's vocals more in the forefront, which, like I said, is not as good, but there's all these extra verses that weren't in the original song. Makes it a little less streamlined, but it's pretty cool. Interesting thing to hear. So let's listen to that, the original alternate longer mix of Knock Me Down.
Too much for me, too much for you. You're gonna lose.
think I'm just about ready to wrap up this episode. I just got a few little odds and ends I'm going to toss in at the end. First off, let's listen to another Frusciante song. It's this song called Wednesday's Song from his solo album Shadows Collide with People, and it's one of these songs where I can just never decide which one I like better, the album version or like the acoustic version that he also released. It's impossible to tell. I don't know. It's like, would you rather suck a dick or would you rather have your dick sucked? There is no good answer. It's impossible. Anyway. I'm going to play the album one just because it's sitting right in front of me. I'm looking at the shit right on the menu. So let's listen to that. Wednesday's Song by John Frusciante. I'm really feeling this last song that I was listening to, so maybe I'll listen to it a few more times, and if it's any good, I'll put it on a future ham radio. But for now, let's just finish off with one more of Flea's little weird solo songs, and then that'll be that. Thank you for listening. Goodbye.
inside out.